Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, we want to turn to John's Gospel and the chapter 8. John's Gospel and the chapter 8. I want to break into the reading of this chapter. Lord Jesus in the treasury, in the temple, and he's speaking the word of the Lord to these people. So John's Gospel and the chapter 8. And we're going to commence to read verse 21 of this chapter. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. I want to center our attention tonight before we pray on verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And we have a little theme tonight, set free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The other day in my study for this sermon, I came across a story about a man in America, the United States of America, a man called Kevin Strickland. When he was 18 years old, he was arrested for the murder of three young fellas. He was only 18 at the time, and the police interviewed him, and whatever evidence they thought they had, they placed it upon him. And this young man, at 18 years old, he found himself sentenced in prison for 50 years. 50 years without parole. He was never to get out once. Kept locked and key, under locked and key in prison for 50 years. Now, he protested from the very beginning that he was innocent. He told them where he was at home sitting watching television. But they placed it all upon him that he did it. And someone said, yes, he did do it. And he found himself under lock and key for 50 years. 18 years old. That was somebody's son. Could you imagine? It was one of your children. And he says, Mom, Dad, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And they were charged. And they found themselves in jail for life. Well, I imagine how I would feel if it was one of my children. And you can imagine if one of yours. And he protested. He said, it wasn't me. And he was there in jail for year after year for over 40 years. He was locked up in jail. And all that time he said he didn't do it. And eventually someone took up his case. And then they investigated all the evidence that they had before them. And they brought it to court. And it was shown he didn't do it. He didn't do it at all. And even the witness who said, who pointed out that he was a man, admitted that they could have made a mistake. It wasn't him at all. For 42 years, locked up in prison, innocent. And in all of that time, his dear mother, his mother no doubt, whose heart was broken, died. And the very one of the first places he went to as he was released, you can imagine the joy when he was told, you're a free man. And he walked out of court, and he walked out of the prison, and he was free. And one of the first places he went was his mother's grave. She didn't see it. She didn't see her son was set free. And that's a true story. Over 40-something years, locked up. But he was set free. And this is what we find in our text. This is the theme tonight here in our meeting, in the Word of God, in this text. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest of all preachers, preaching to those in sin, he says wonderful, wonderful words in the verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I'm glad tonight to be able to say there's freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang it, didn't we? He sets the prisoners free. And I want to speak tonight on this. And there's three very simple lessons. First of all, we can see the problem for this freedom. And here's the great problem. Sinners need to be set free. They need to be set free. These were religious men. Remember, the Lord Jesus was speaking to, and he was trying to put nailless truth in their heart that they needed to be set free. And you think of sinners' captivity. Because of their sin, they need to be set free. Because sin has chains upon them, and they're held by sin. And how do we know this? Because the Lord Jesus says it. He says it. Do you know tonight in Newton Orange, the people in the pubs and the people in their clubs, they think that they're free. They think they're free. They think they can do whatever they want and go wherever they want. But you know the reality is, they're not free at all. They're not free. They're held in captivity to sin. Now, you look at verse 34. The Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, and this means truly, truly, here is something that is true. I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, notice the words, is a servant of sin. You can imagine the Lord Jesus looking at these religious men, and he's saying them a very, very solemn truth. Whosoever committeth sin, here's what you are. You're a servant of sin. And the word servant, you know what it means? It means you're a slave. You're held in chains of sin. You're held in captivity. Of course, this is true of many, many people today. They're held. They're held by chains of sin. You and I can go through things here tonight. And we know, of course, that people are held by sin. You think of alcohol. And there are people today, and you know something, they're held by booze. Now, I know they say, I could give up a drink at any time. Well, tell them to give it up. There's a wonderful verse in Proverbs 23. Over in the book of Proverbs, about drink, about alcohol. And it talks about the man who's at the wine and he's drinking. And you know what it says in verse 35? When I shall awake, I will seek it yet again. You know what he's doing? He arises in the morning. He's going for a drink. He needs more drink. And I remember as a young lad when I was drinking 4 or 5 nights a week. And I remember having such a hangover after the drink. It was around the 12th of July. It was the 13th morning. And I was feeling sick. And I was miserable. And I was in Uri. And I was going to play in the band and all the rest of it. And we ended up in this Masonic Lodge Hall, I think it was, in Uri. And the boy says to me, no, you take a drink. This is early in the morning. I said, I don't want a drink. I thought, I need a hospital. I'm going to die. But you know something? The men talked to me. He said, just take one, Noel. Just take a drink. And eventually I gave in, and I took a drink. And I want to tell you here tonight, as soon as the drink hit my stomach, it was as red as rain. And you heard people saying, I'll go for the cure. You heard that? And I learned a lesson, a young man. I found a cure for a hangover. You need more drink. And I didn't know the Bible said in Proverbs, when I awake, I will seek it again. And the very morning I got up to get saved and to come to Jesus Christ, my mother says to me, are you away to the pub? For I used to get up early Saturday morning and go for more drink. And I never said, no. I said, no, I'm not. I didn't say where I was going, but I was going to drink at the fountain where I'd never run dry, Jesus Christ. I was going there. There's people today held. You know them. I know a fella. And I've been talking to him for years. And I said, well, what a set of a man. And he knows he's lost. He knows he's heading down towards hell. And there he is, still sneaking off, still running off to the pubs and to the clubs. You see, he's in captivity. He's held by drinking. Walk the streets of our land. We're on the streets at the moment, preaching the word of God, and you meet all types of people. People on drugs. Held in drugs. As we would say, if people high as a kite sometimes, you talk to them on the streets. People telling lies in order to get money off you, in order to, so they can feed their habit. You see, they're held, they're in captivity. They're in captivity of their sin. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And you can take that right through the board. You can think of gambling. And there are new laws, I think, introduced. Not that I would need to know about them, but there are new laws introduced, I think it was last week, about gambling laws in Northern Ireland. There's a thing up on the television, did you see it? In the United Kingdom, of Great Britain, 2.5 million women, have a gambling problem. It's so easy, isn't it? You have it in your hand. You can go buy lottery tickets in the shops. You see them over 2.5 have a problem here with this addiction to gambling. And every day they're running and they're throwing away their money. There's a little filling station outside for Strafford, just around outside for Strafford. And when I was always driving past this filling station, I didn't need, there was a big house, a mansion. And then in through the massive gates and all, there's one of these jockey boys sitting on a statue. He's on a horse. He says, boys, there must be somebody famous must live in there. And one day I was stopped at the filling station and I got my diesel and I was talking away to a girl behind a thing. And I said, who lives across the road here? I want to know the name of this famous. Know what you said? That's the bookies. He's a famous jockey, isn't he? Built by the public, isn't he? I know people over my lifetime who's got themselves in serious trouble. I know people, a man who got himself into jail because of his gambling addiction. And they're held, and you can go to smoking, and you can think of immorality. I know there's very high on the list in this particular day. You think of homosexuality in Romans 1 verse 27. And likewise, the men, even the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward the other. Men with men working that which is unseemly. And you think of immorality. See, mankind, he's a slave. He's a slave to sin. And there are people in Newton Arch tonight, and they're a slave to sin. And maybe there's somebody in this meeting tonight and you're a slave to sin. You've promised, I'll give it up and I'll get away from it. And maybe some here tonight, I want to say, and they're a slave of self-righteousness, because the very people the Lord Jesus was speaking to, they were not alcoholics, they were not drug addicts. They weren't caught in gambling or immorality. They were self-righteous Jews. And here's the thing about it. They didn't know that they were in captivity. They said in verse 33, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Oh, we're never slaves. Not us, no. We're Jews. That's why the Lord said to them, commit sin. The servant of sin. Some people are tied up with these chains of sin. And here's the thing about it. They don't know it. They don't think it. I meet them all the time. The other day we were doing open air last week in Bangor. And this wee woman came across the street and she says, asked about the music. You know what she said? I thought I was in heaven. And she asked who was singing. Well, she was informed who was singing. It wasn't me, by the way. It was Willie McRae. She'd never heard of him. That was very funny, wasn't it? I thought, for a woman, she's near 80. I said, she hadn't heard Noel Shields, that would be all right. But she said she hadn't heard of Willie McRae. And then when trying to tell the gospel, Colin was trying to speak to her, oh, she informed him how good she was. How good she was. And she had never done anything wrong and always tried to help people. But she didn't really know. She didn't really know the truth of the gospel, that she's a slave. She's a slave to sin. And there are people tonight in our land, and there are people in the free church tonight, and they're in bondage, and they're in sin, or chained to sin, and they don't know it. The devil's quite happy just to tie a couple of wee bows on them, and there they go about all nice and smiley and helping people, and all the time they're in chains. So they need to be set free, don't they? Need to be set free. Remember, chained to sin and to the devil as well. And that's a great thing, because over in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Notice those words. They're taken captive by the devil at his will. He has sinners lapped around his wee finger tonight. He leads them this way, that way, whatever way he wants. People tonight need to be set free. And if you're unsaved tonight in this meeting, remember, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us, you need to be set free. You're held by chains. Whatever your chain is, everybody's not tied to the same chain. There might be someone tonight says, I never smoked a cigarette in my life. I never took a drug. I never took a drink. I never went out and committed immorality. But listen, you need to be free. We've all sinned. Remember, the Bible is very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's the problem here for this freedom. We need to be set free from our sin. The sinner's captivity and the sinner's misery as well is that they cannot free themselves. Their weakness, and think also of their weeping. There are people tonight and they're in desperation because of their sin. Remember in Proverbs 23, verse 29, who is woe? Who is sorrow? Who is contention? Who is it? He's one who tarries long at the wine. It's a miserable life. I'm sure there are people here tonight that know what I'm talking about. When we were in the world and living for the world and booze and all the rest of it, we pretended we were having the time of the life. But deep down in our heart, we weren't. There was many a night I came home, and then the night I was crying. That's only pretending. That's a hard life. You know, the Bible says, the way of a transgressor, it's hard. And people chained tonight. And people say, I'd love to be free from my sin. I'd love to get away from it. Surely there's something better. I meet young fellas on the streets and I tell them, surely you want something better for your life. You don't want to live your whole life like this. There he is standing in his sin with nothing. Surely you don't want to live like this. Oh, miserable, isn't it? And then, of course, eternity is facing them. Heading for a lost eternity. The wages of sin is death. Someone has said, sin, it takes you where you don't want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. It costs you more than you want to pay. And so I find tonight in our text, here's the problem. Here's the problem for this freedom. Sinners are held in captivity and they need to be set free. And we put a whole lot of us onto this tonight. I don't say to some people, you don't need to be set free and you don't need to be set free. Every one of us needs to be set free. Everybody. Because all, as I said, have sinned against the Lord. Then I want to say this about the power for this freedom. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us how a sinner who's lost and on their way to hell can be saved. And the same for you tonight in this meeting. Lost and heading for a lost eternity in hell. How you can be set free. Notice what he says. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Thank God tonight there's freedom in Jesus Christ. He can set the sinner free. And he does it by the truth. Look at verse 32. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, the truth will make you free. But the truth about what? The truth about Jesus Christ will set you free. That's the truth. The truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember he said? He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'm glad tonight the Lord Jesus Christ, he can set the sinner free. That's what he says in our text. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And this is the good news of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ can break the chains. Break the chains of sin. And he can set the sinner free. And I say to you here tonight, there's nobody else can do it. There's nobody else can set the sinner free. No one else can save their soul. It's only Jesus Christ. Do you remember it says in Psalm 102 verse 20, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to lose those that are appointed to death. Notice those words, the groaning of the prisoner. And to lose those who are appointed to death. I said, the Lord does this. Only Jesus Christ can do it. See, it's Spurgeon, that mighty, mighty preacher over in England for many, many years. And he said these words, no matter who you are, nor what you are, or how many years you may have remained the slaves of Satan, the Son, the glorious liberator, can make you free. See, it's Spurgeon said that many, many years ago. Christ, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Christ can set you free. It's the same message today, isn't it? It was the same message in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood up boldly here to these Jewish people. And he tells them, the Son therefore shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. I can free you. I can break the shackles. I can save your soul. That's the same message we preach tonight. Only the Son of God can set you free. People today are trying this method. They're trying medication. They're trying other things to set them free. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ. He can set them free. And he's the only one. No one else can do this. That's what we find here in the text. There's no one else. There's no other Savior. There's no one else can rescue us. There's no one else can break these chains. No one but Jesus Christ. The Son to set you free. Now, what about that cost of freedom? There's always a price to pay for freedom, isn't there? And you think of the wars. You think of those who give their life, who laid down their life. There's a price to pay for freedom. It doesn't come cheaply, by the way. We know that in our land. It doesn't come cheaply. The Lord Jesus paid the price for our freedom. He put these shackles upon himself, upon the cross. The prophet Isaiah says, but he's wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Our chains, our sense, our sin was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one sin was his own. He knew no sin and he did no sin. But here's the great teaching of the Bible. He died for our sins. He took our place. He took our punishment. Endured the wrath of God for our sins. It says the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, what a Savior. I love that wee verse, you know, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isn't that right? I meet mothers sometimes and fathers, and they start to tell me about their children, and I know what it's like. It's hard, not easy in their way. And I quote that. I says, "You know, all we like sheep have gone astray. I went astray, and so did you. So did you. We all did. Turn everyone to his own way, and the Lord has led on him the iniquity of us all." Not wonderful, isn't he a great Savior? He took our sins and our sorrows. He went to the cross, and he bled and died, and he suffered in great pain and agony. He cried out, my God, why has thou forsaken me?" He cried, "It's finished." And Jesus paid it all. He paid the price of my freedom upon the cross. That's why he says, you know, if a son therefore should make you free, you should be free indeed. Do you know anybody else has done this? Do you know anyone else who died for you in such a fashion? None but Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus paid the price for our freedom and by the shedding of his blood. And that's why we were singing tonight, "Would you be free from the burden of sin?" There's power in the blood. And there's power in the blood. And we sang that hymn, "Jesus, the prisoner's fetters breaks and bruises Satan's head." You see, Jesus Christ can set us free. He died to set us free. He put himself in our place. He put himself with these chains of sin, in a sense, on the cross to set us free. And that's the message. That's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to sinners who are lost. Well, heard him. Jesus Christ, he's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And you need to find him as your Lord and as your Savior. "Oh, the Son so therefore shall set you free. You shall be free indeed." All the scriptures is involved. It's the truth about Jesus. That's why we preach the Bible. That's why we point people to this great book, the Word of the Living God. That's what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. You say, "Well, I have different ideas. I have different notions." And you may have different notions tonight. And you may have different ideas about the way of salvation. But if it doesn't agree with God's Word, then you're wrong. You're wrong. And there are many people tonight on the wrong pathway. And many people trying to break themselves free. I'm not suggesting tonight that there's not people who used to drink and then they stopped. They're stopped. But that doesn't mean they're free. Doesn't mean they're free from sin. Just things have cooled down a wee bit. Devil's leaving them alone. That's just the way it is. But here the Lord Jesus can set the sinner free. And then the Spirit of God is involved as well. Remember in Romans 8 and verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and life." Oh, when you repent from your sin and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of a living God comes into your heart and has made me free. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's made me free. The Spirit of God coming into our hearts. It's made me free. Oh, great verse in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new." You see, oh, what happens? Christ comes into our heart and he sets us free. He makes you a new person. Has he done that for you tonight in this meeting? Can you say, "Yes, no, the Lord has done this for me. I have turned from my sin. I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has washed me in his blood and every sin's been taken away. And he's come into my heart and I'm free. I'm free." I never forget the day I got saved. Many years ago now. I remember standing in Newry Town that night. I was going for a bag of chips. And I remember standing and in the street and I said, "No, I said, Lord, I thank you, it's all over. That old life was over. The pubs and all went with it. He had set me free." And you glad tonight he set you free? Oh, what a Savior he is. He's the one. And then the salvation that comes with it as well. They're free from the curse of the law, free from his condemnation. Free and receive the gift of God, which is everlasting life. This is what the Lord does. He frees us for life. On to life. On to eternal life. This is what he does. "The Son therefore shall set you free. You shall be free indeed, it says. He gives salvation. He gives salvation. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful change he makes when he comes into our heart. We receive salvation. I was reading a wee book there. I don't know if anybody ever heard of a preacher. I was asking our brother there today if he heard of a man called Tommy Sharkey. Now, he was a preacher, an old man, years ago in Northern Ireland. He's a wee book. He wrote his life story. I think it's called A Tool in God's Hand. And I saw this wee book and I got it and I read it. And a remarkable, remarkable wee man. And preaching, he worked on the faith mission all many years ago and preached the word of God. And he told stories about how he preached and people were converted. And he told a story about going into a cafe around Portrush. He'd been down at the Port Stewart Convention. He says the place was packed. And he went in and he says, well, we'll find you a seat somewhere. And he says, they got him away down to the back of the cafe. And there was a man sitting by himself at the table. His head sort of bowed down. And Tommy sat down beside him. So Tommy started to talk to this man. It wasn't an old man. Started to speak to him. He's a married man. And Tommy was telling him, he says, about the convention up there in Port Stewart. Well, the man lifted his head. He says, oh, I used to go there, he says, with my mother when I was a wee boy many years ago. Well, Tommy says, maybe you'll come along sometime. The man started to tell Tommy his story. He says, you know, I'm a married man, I have a good wife. I've got lovely children. But he says, I've got a great problem. He says, I'm addicted to drinking and gambling. And he says, this very morning when I was leaving home, my wife threw her arms around me. It must have been payday. And I held her close and I promised her, I'll be home. I'm coming home. And the wife has told him, well, we need money for the children to feed them and clothe them and so on. And he said, I'll be home. And he told Tommy what happened. He says, during the day, a man came to him at work. He says, listen, there's a good horse running today. It's a cert to win. His ears pricked up. The man he promised to his wife, I'll be home. He went into a bookie shop, he told Tommy, and he put half of his wages on the horse. That was a cert. It was a cert. Oh, he's going to go home with money, all right, for his wife. And the horse lost half the wages. Now he's panicking. Now he's in trouble. He has to go home. He has to face his wife. And so another horse is running. And he says, I tried to retrieve another bit of it. And he goes, it doesn't say how much it was, of his wages. And he put it on another horse, hoping this will win. And it lost. And he says to Tommy, I went to a pub and I drank the rest of the money. I drank the rest of it. And there he is sitting and he's miserable, miserable, lost. But Tommy had a great message for him. Tommy told him about the gospel he had heard as a little child. And he told him of one who's mighty to save. And Tommy told at the back of that shop, this him and this man. The man repented from his sin. And he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he was saved. And the Lord set him free. Tommy says he often wondered how that man was getting on. And when he inquired later on in life, he inquired, how was that man getting on? You know what he was told? He's a great trophy of grace. And it's now household salvation. If the Son therefore shall set you free, he shall be free indeed. The Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty Savior. And you're here tonight and you're held by sin and you're heading to a lost eternity. Your only hope in life is Jesus Christ. None but Jesus Christ can set you free. But he can set you free tonight if you come to him as a sinner and put your trust in him. I want to say another wee thing tonight, a couple of things quickly, about the promptness of his freedom. It is done in a moment. It's done in a moment. We get to see it, Spurgeon says, you may have been chained at 1,000 points, but the instant you believe in Christ, you are unfettered and free as the bird of the air. And that is true, of course. One word, listen, one touch from the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're free. You look over in Mark's Gospel in chapter 5, Legion, that man, he was chained. The people chained him. They tried to tame him, and no man could tame him. No man. Would you find him on down that chapter? There's somebody has tamed him. There's somebody has set him free. He's sitting and he's clothed, and in his right mind were at the feet of Jesus. In a moment. And this meeting, can I say it tonight in this meeting, if you're unsaved, listen to my voice. You can go home unfettered and saved. Tonight. And in a moment. One word, one touch from the Master's hand, and he will set you free. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Well, there's power in the blood, and all your sins in a moment tonight will be taken away if you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus. There's another wee lesson just in closing, the permanence of his freedom. Look at our text, and those wonderful words, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed. Not one, there's a certainty here. Ye shall be free indeed. There's no danger, I want to say, there's no danger of being recaptured again. It doesn't mean that we never fail. We will. It doesn't mean that the sinner who saved will never fall. There are times he will fall. But here's the great truth, he'll never be fettered again. He'll never be fettered again. If the Son therefore shall make you free, here's what Jesus Christ says, you shall be free. You shall be free indeed. Oh, the permanence of this freedom. Remember there in Psalm 124, verse 7, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. You know what it says? The snare is broken. And we are escaped. Isn't that amazing? As if the Lord gets a hold of this snare, and so we're held in it, we can't get out of it, and he sets us free, he gets a hold of that snare, and he breaks it. The snare is broken. Hallelujah. And we're free. Aren't you glad tonight the Lord has set you free? From your sin, child of God, saved by the grace of God, you shall be free indeed. And there's life in Jesus Christ. There's freedom in Jesus Christ. That's the hope. This is the only message for the unsaved. Christ can set them free. And if you're unsaved tonight in this meeting, he can set you free. There's no one like him. Would you come to him? Would you trust him? Maybe there's some listening to my voice. You've tried methods and people and medication to set you free. But here's the one who can do it. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's people here tonight who stand and give their testimony. I could tell of how they sinned against God and lived a wicked life. And yet here's a great thing. They're free. And we're loving the life that Jesus Christ has given us. And he can do that for you tonight. Would you come and trust him? We're here to help people. If any inquiries, speak with us. And I trust tonight you'll come to the one who can set you free. And give you new life, eternal life, that's found in Jesus Christ. But God write his word upon our hearts tonight.